It's been our habit here at FBT that between Mother's Day and then somewhere through the Father's Day range, we have a series on the home and emphasize different aspects of the home. And so this morning I want to begin a series on Abraham's burdens and blessings, Abraham's B&B. All right? You may be familiar with that. Perhaps you've used Airbnb at different times, and it's been a help to you as you've needed lodging in different places across the country. But as I got to thinking about that, I was thinking of Abraham's burdens and blessings. And it's amazing to me as we look at Abraham's life, how many times we see a burden and a blessing yoked up in the same chapter. And there's nothing new under the sun. And so the things that you face, the things that I face in my life and in the things you face in your life are very much like what Abraham faced in his day and time. And so I believe that there is much to learn from these different chapters of the Bible. We'll look at chapter 12 this morning and consider Abraham's burdens and blessings. And we want to consider this first aspect of Abraham's life. Now again, God changes his name throughout the course of his life, and so if I refer to him as Abram or Abraham, you'll know who I'm speaking of. And God changes the name of his wife as well, but most often I'll probably call him Abraham and Sarah, and you bear with me if it's not in that exact time frame, but we do want to learn from these chapters of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 through 11 reveal to us God's dealings with the world as a whole. And so I believe in a biblical worldview that finds its basis in Genesis 1 through 11. Everything that you and I see in society has its roots there in Genesis 1 through 11. And you can take time to study those chapters, and I believe you can gain a biblical worldview. We find out how we got here. We find out from those chapters why we're here. We find out where we're headed. And that is a brief summary of a biblical worldview. God directs us in these areas. But Genesis 1 through 11 give us God's dealings with the world as a whole. Genesis chapter 12, the focus shifts to a specific man and nation. And we want to consider Abraham's burdens and blessings. Abraham is 75 years old at the beginning of this chapter, and the Bible tells us that he lived to be 175. Genesis chapter 25, verses 7 through 8, these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 103 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. So we don't know much about his first 75 years. We don't know everything about his next 100 years. But there is much to learn from Abraham's life and his home and his connections. And so I want us to spend some time in these next weeks looking at Abraham's home, Abraham's life, and Abraham's extended family. And I believe that there are a lot of helps for us as we look at Abraham's walk over these 100 years. The first message that I want to preach this morning on Abraham's burdens and blessings is on this theme: is my family in the place of God's choosing? Is my family in the place of God's choosing? Look with me, if you would, at these opening verses here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Let's ask the Lord's blessings and direction as we begin into this series, Abraham's burdens and blessing. And I begin with asking each one this question. Is my family in the place of God's choosing? Let's direct our attention in prayer this morning and pray that God would open our hearts for the message today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that I have to go to the Word of God and to gain help and strength in my time of need. And then I have the opportunity to go to the Word of God to help prepare messages that I trust will be used in the heart of each person that sits under the sound of the Word of God on a weekly basis. Now, Lord, I pray that you would direct my thoughts. May these things be a help to each family member. We pray, Father, that all of us would know of a certainty that we are exactly where you would have us to be, doing exactly what you would have us to do. And I pray that we'd learn from Abraham's life in these coming weeks. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This opening chapter details the nature of God's call upon a man's life and the establishment of the nation of Israel. God had dealt with the world as a whole. He had destroyed the world by flood, and yet he spared eight individuals there, as is mentioned in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 11, the Bible says that all of mankind unified that they might build a tower for their own name. And God, through the course of changing and diversifying the languages, dispersed man across the face of the earth. And then God specifically started to deal with a man who would become a great nation. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8, the Bible says this. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now I am not a fan of moving. I am thankful for people that are willing to pitch in and help others move. I do not, though, enjoy moving. Moving was one of the great consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. They had everything they needed in the garden, and when they sinned, God called the U-Haul truck and said, "You're moving out." And made them pack up the truck, pack up all their belongings, and get out of the Garden of Eden. And God made them move. I have a second point to that message. God made Adam mow. And mowing is a curse from the sin of Adam. And so I'm working on a third and fourth point, and then that will be a message that will be a real blessing to us all. But God made him move, and God made him start mowing. Both of those are a curse, of course. Until God afforded man the invention of a zero-turn mower. I will insert that parenthetical thought. Zero-turn mowers do change the entire dynamic from what my dad forced in labor as I was a kid mowing his lawn every week. But I digress and save that message for Father's Day. I'm just kidding. God called Abram to move out of the land of his family and out of his home area. And I want to challenge all of us this morning on this knowledge. Am I where God wants me to be? Now this morning I could pick a place in this nation or a place around the world that I would just desire to live in. It would probably be a remote cabin, distant from most people, and surely off the radar of any government intervention, if you know what I mean. But I'm not the one who has picked where God has me living. And I know that all of you this morning would look at those of us in the ministry and you would say, oh, well, surely he needs to be exactly where God wants him to be, because after all, he's in the ministry. But I would declare to you this morning that all of us need to know for sure that we're doing exactly what God wants us to do and that we're exactly in the place of God's choosing. Now, there are challenges no matter where that place of choosing may be. I was sitting yesterday in a reception for a couple of graduates from high school, and an individual asked me about the things that I missed in small-town America. And we had the opportunity to live in small-town America for 22-plus years, and there are many things that I miss about small-town America. But I'm also, at the same time, thankful that God afforded me the opportunity to be raised in what is a bigger metropolis or a bigger city. And so there are benefits of both, and I've observed this through the years, that as people apply themselves to love what is great about the area in which they live, they tend to thrive. For those that get into an area and they begin to look at all the negative of that area, they tend to become soured very quickly. And surely, you and I can find things to sour ourselves on here in this area. Don't get me started on our real estate taxes and on traffic and of the... Anyway, all right, again, not a message for today. That will be July 4th. Other messages coming. No, I'm just kidding. We can find things that frustrate the hound out of us. You can find matters that are at hand, and you can find things that are troubling. And you just say, I just cannot take this. And here, in this location, we get frustrated that there's 5, 6, 7 cars in front of us doing 35 miles per hour on the parkway. And that's frustrating. And they tend to ride right next to each other. Well, you move to small town America and it's not 2 cars blocking your way, it's a tractor. And it's doing 20 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. And the hayfield that he's going to mow is 10 miles away and it's a block away from where you're headed. And so you're going to follow that tractor for 10 miles. There are struggles no matter where you go. But I want to emphasize to all of us that we have a responsibility before God to be exactly where God wants us to be and to be doing exactly what God would have us to be doing. If that's the case, then we dive into Abram's life and we ask ourselves some questions, or we begin to answer some questions about being in the place of God. Now, please do not misunderstand this message as one of, I want everyone to leave Fairfax, Virginia. Please don't do that. I don't want to spend the rest of my life as a live stream pastor. I did that for 2 months, and that's not a lot of fun. I like seeing people here, but I want to know that the people of FBT are as assured of being in the place of God's calling as I am in being in the place as a shepherd. Number one, as we consider of being in the place of God's choosing and being in the place of God's calling, number one, please, we start here with this important heartbeat of God. A husband or father must be walking with the Lord to discern the place of God's choosing. We start right here with this matter. A husband slash father must be walking with the Lord to discern the place of God's choosing. Now, I believe that the home begins when the husband and wife say, I do. I know that there are others that think that your home began when you had your first child, but I believe that that home begins when the husband says, I do, and the wife says, I do, and regardless as to whether or not God brings children into your lives, you have a responsibility as a home to be leading that home in the place of God's choosing. Now, let me give you a passage of Scripture to write down, and perhaps I give you a new twist on it this morning. As we read Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I believe that your home can prosper if you are a man that is walking with the Lord. As a husband, I have a responsibility to walk with the Lord for my wife's sake. As a father, I have a responsibility to walk with the Lord for my son's sake. I have the obligation to be discerning as to what God desires for the direction of our home. Now, let me ask you this morning, men, is your home prospering today? I'm not asking anyone else in your home. I'm not asking your spouse. I'm not asking your kids. I'm asking you if your home is prospering. If the first thing you thought about when I asked that question was to open your checkbook and give me the bottom line balance of your checkbook, then you've missed the point. Because prosperity is not primarily financial. Prosperity is not primarily physical. Prosperity is primarily spiritual. And the Bible says that if a man is walking with the Lord, everything that he commits his life to do will prosper. And so let me ask about your home's account. Is it a prospering account? Psalm 37, verse number 23, the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." How do you know if your family is where God wants you to be? Well, let me ask the men. Men, are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? This is a challenge. My folks each came to this area as single adults, and they met in a single adult Sunday school class at a sister church here in the area. And my dad had full intentions of working for the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and so forth. He had an agent that was a part of his church up in Buffalo, New York. And that agent had introduced my dad to it and said, "Look, they're hiring. Take this path." My dad came down as an FBI prospective agent, fully intending to give his life to the FBI. And my mom was working in a bank here at the time. I don't think the bank exists anymore, or it's changed names, I'm sure. But as they met and God guided the course of their lives, there was a time where my dad said, "You know what? If I take this FBI path, this is what it means for me and my family." But at that same time, God was burdening him over the need for men in the ministry. And so my dad, with two kids and a third on the way, entered Bible college right here in the area. He did not yet have his bachelor's degree. It was something he was working on, and he was going down the path of attaining that degree that he might one day be an FBI agent. And I, in my own mind, when I learned that as a little kid, I think to myself, man, I could have been the son of an FBI agent. How cool would that have been? And I otherwise wound up being the son of my school. He was my principal. May have been better if he was in law enforcement, but maybe he thought he was in law enforcement with me in his school. But anyway, as God guided his path, he changed his path from being that and directed towards, "I'm going down this path." God called him. My mom assisted him in his work and everything like this. He did a lot of different things. But from 1972 to 1975, here in this very area, Dad spent all of his investment time, because he's going to get his Bible degree, because God had called him to the ministry. God redirected his path. He was in God's will when he came down here to Washington, D.C. He was in God's will, so far as I know, when he met my mom and they got married. But he had an open heart. He said, "Listen, as I've been burdened by the preaching of the Word of God, as I've been challenged, I believe that God, too, wants me in the ministry." Now, it's not the ideal way to go to Bible college with a wife and three kids. That's probably not the ideal way to make it happen. But you know what? God provided for us every single step of the way. And now I've watched my dad in ministry all these years, had the privilege to serve alongside of him for about 12 years in our ministry in East Tennessee. And I can say this, I've watched my dad fulfill this obligation in saying, "I believe that I'm exactly where God would have me to be." Now, in the times that he has left the ministry, when we left FBT, it was not an easy change. When we left our ministry in Florida, it was not an easy change. When he left Valley Forge Baptist Temple, it was not an easy change. It's never been easy, but in every step he has followed what I believe an observation to be that of following God's will. Now, men, I'm not saying that God's necessarily calling you into the ministry. But even though you're not called in the ministry, you ought to be assured that you're exactly where God wants you to be in your place of ministry, doing the job that God has afforded to you. You see, first and foremost, I'm a believer. Secondarily, I fulfill an obligation in society. So fill in the blank with whatever you're doing in life, and you ought to have a certainty that that's exactly what God has gifted you to do, has called you to do, and is directing you to do. And I pray that you have that kind of spirit. I pray that we have Psalm 1 men here, and everything that you put your hand to is prospering because your family desperately needs to see your walk with the Lord. As we look at Abram's life, he's in communication with God, and God says, I want you to go to this place. Now imagine that conversation. Abram goes to his wife and says, honey, we're moving. What? I don't want to move. I like this area. I like my neighbors. I like the place where we live. Well, if we're moving, where are we moving to? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know where we're moving, how are we going to know when we get there? Well, I don't know. Every bit of this chapter does not make sense from a human aspect, but it makes sense when we begin to understand that a man was walking with the Lord, in tune with God, and it had an impact on his family. Number one, a husband father must be walking with the Lord to discern the place of God's choosing. Number two, and boy, this just gets better and better, or tougher and tougher, okay? Number two, a wife must be walking with the Lord to follow the leadership of her husband. A wife must be walking with the Lord to follow the leadership of her husband. Wives, have your husbands ever done anything that you just sat back and said to yourself, that's not smart? Now don't hit your husband right now with an elbow. Perhaps it happened yesterday. Perhaps it was this past week, but there's been a time and you're observing something and you're thinking to yourself, this is not going to go well. Your husband needed an extra 5 feet to reach that window to wash it, and so he backed up his pickup truck, put the 6-foot ladder in the back of the pickup truck, and he's standing on the top of that ladder in the back of the pickup truck trying to reach that window, and you're, as the wife, sitting there thinking, I'm not sure this is really smart. Well, he still couldn't reach it, so he had this brilliant idea. Go and get 4 cinder blocks, put them in the bed of the truck, and put the ladder on top of the 4 cinder blocks, and then go up on top of the ladder. And your wife is staying there, I'm not sure this is real brilliant. And then as your husband is stretching and stretching and stretching, and he doesn't want to fool with another set of cinder blocks, he says, you know what, I don't think that warning on the ladder really means what it says. I'm just going to stand on the very top. How badly could that go for me? And so he does it, and everything comes crashing down. Wives, now, you may have observed something like this in your husbands in the past. And perhaps you think right now, Pastor, were you there when this happened? No, I wasn't. I was making that up, okay? But wives, there have probably been times where you thought to yourself, what in the world is my husband doing? What is he doing? My wife and I got married in October of 92, and 4 months after we got married, I resigned my position from the place we were serving. And my wife, I'm sure at that time, we bought a house in September, got married in October, and I resigned in January. Now, let me just clue you in. It's not a really good idea to own a house and not have any job. All right? Very quickly, that can go south, okay? My wife, I'm pretty sure, thought at the time, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? Then I went to my wife and said, honey, I know I don't have a job, but we're going to move out of the country. We're going to do what? I'm sorry, say that again. We don't have a job and we're moving out of the country. I wasn't fleeing the law, wasn't running from anything, but God had opened the door for us to learn some different lessons, and he had opened the door for us to serve in a different kind of position. But I'm sure in the back of my wife's thought process at the time, she thought, wait a minute, I married a guy that was going to be here in Stateside, and I thought I was going to be a youth pastor's wife in this location, and now you don't have a job. We've got a debt with this mortgage, and we're moving out of the country. We're doing what? Yes, I'm sure there have been times that wives have thought a little bit, seen a little bit of the craziness of a husband. That's why I challenge young ladies before they attach themselves to a young man, they ought to observe that young man in his spiritual walk for a long time. Make sure that that's someone that's directed by the Lord. Make sure that you're going to be following someone that is following the Lord himself. But wives, as you have the responsibility to follow your husbands and your husband's leadership, we learn in Genesis chapter 3 that right there at the outset, when sin entered the matter, the Bible says that God ordained a structure for the home. The Bible says that the husband is to be the head of the home, to be the head of the wife, Genesis 3:16. The Bible says that the husband would rule over the wife. With sin came the need for structure in the home. Each of us have a flesh that wants its own way. The husband is not to be the lord of the home, but he is to be a servant leader. And I tell you this morning, if husbands were more like the Psalm 1 man and everything that they did prospered, we'd have a lot less issue with the wives being willing to follow. If we were the loving leaders that God would desire for us to be, if husbands loved their wives as Christ loved the church, I tell you what, it'd be a lot easier for wives to follow the husband's leadership. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Please don't go on social media, wives, and tell everyone that your husband's an idiot. That's not wise. It's not wise because you said yes to the idiot. So you need to guard your response. Wives, if I were in your position, I'd let everyone know that you're married to a genius. He's the greatest man that's ever walked the face of the earth because people will raise their level of your ability to marry him. They'll think to themselves, man, how did she ever get that guy if he's so wonderful? Well, the truth of the matter is that if a husband would walk with the Lord and direct as the Lord directs, wives, I tell you what, it'd be wonderful to be able to follow that kind of a servant leader. That kind of man that demonstrated his love for you. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus that wives should submit. He also told the church at Colossae, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Husbands, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, spoke to those that were scattered abroad, and he said the same thing. And you know what? We say the same thing in this day and age. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Yes, but there are times that he's not making good choices, and so I just want to step in and make the choice for him. Anything with two heads is a monster. And tragically, our society has moved away from the structure that God ordained, and there's two people that have flesh that are in a wrestling match for the leadership of the home. Men, God should be directing you in your path. You should be a Psalm 1 man, adhering to the things of the Scriptures, delighting in the things of the Scriptures, following the things that God has for you to follow. And wives, if this is going to be orchestrated and be a blessing, then you'll follow his godly leadership. Number one, a husband or father must be walking with the Lord to discern the place of God's choosing. Number two, a wife must be walking with the Lord to follow the leadership of her husband. Number three, the place of God's choosing always brings the greatest blessings. The place of God's choosing always brings the greatest blessings. Well, God has called us to these places around the globe. I tell you what, if God's called you there, He'll provide for you every step of the way. Through the years and ministry and everything like that, God has afforded us the opportunity to visit many missionaries on the foreign field. And I have watched people that have little to nothing to show for worldly enticements and worldly things, and they're the happiest people on the planet. I watched a pastor in Santa Maria, Brazil. I watched a pastor who was willing to plant a church there in Santa Maria. His name was Pastor Antonio. And his family was growing. And because he needed additional room in his home, he went into the back section and dug out a portion under their house where their foundation was. And they had headspace there, but it was all dirt. He dug it out. And literally, my feet were walking on dirt so that he could have more space for his family as he planted that church in Santa Maria. And as I silently observed all of that take place, I came back in my own mind and in my own thoughts, and I said to myself, shame on me for ever complaining about anything that I have or don't have in the United States of America in the ministry. And I observed his desire to see people won to Christ, to see his family excel, to see his children have a place that would be safe. Didn't have the resources to go out and to just buy the bigger place. And so he began to make more space just with a shovel and a pick. And I thought to myself, my, oh my, how many times am I complaining about the things that God has really provided for me? And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the best place of God's provision is in the place of God's choosing. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 details the nature of Abram leaving the place of his father's house. That seems like a crazy move. It seems like it's insane. I'm sure all the neighbors and family members said, Abram, what are you doing? But if Abram was going to be blessed, he's going to leave that location and go to the place of God's choosing. I love these two verses in 2 Kings 17, referring to Elijah when Elijah had declared that there would be a famine or a drought in the land. God said, I want you to go to this brook, for I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. When the brook dried up, God came again to Elijah and said, go to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Can I just encourage you this morning that if you are exactly in that place called there, that God has called you to, then He'll provide everything that you need. He'll take care of you beyond all of your thoughts and counsels. Where God guides, God provides. The place of God's choosing may not be friendly. It may not be easy, but God will direct the path to the greatest level of blessing. I've observed missionaries that serve in the jungle settings and that faced very difficult challenges in reaching the natives of the jungle. I've observed missionaries that are in concrete jungles, and they faced very difficult challenges in reaching people in the concrete jungles. I remember the first time we took our boys up to New York City. My wife and I had been up in New York City numerous times, but this was going to be the first time we took our boys there, and there's a missionary up in Queens, New York. They live right off of Jamaica Avenue. We have the opportunity to support them. And they have, I think, about 100-plus different nationalities in their church and the people that are coming and going from the Gospel Light Baptist Church. And my wife and I had directed for a time that we were going to go see them in New York, and we were going to be them with services. And in the process of going to New York City to be with Brother Dice, he called me and he said, now, we've got a man that has passed away and the family wants to host a wake for this individual that's passed away. And so if you don't mind, when we finish Wednesday night services, we're going to go over to this person's house And it's going to be a group of individuals that are following man-made religion. And it's going to be a group of individuals that are believers. The one that had passed away was a believer. And so our boys were young. I think our one son was 8 years old. I think our other son was 5 years old. And I said, boys, I said, hey, we're going to go up to New York City and we're going to go to this, we're going to go to a wake for an individual. And the gentleman had passed away in a foreign country. When we walked into this row house in New York City, the front room was filled with individuals that were friends and family members that were all following false religion. And when my boys walked in, their eyes were bugged out of their heads. They're just observing everything that's going on. And then we went into the next room, and there were all the individuals that were believers, family and friends from the church that were believers. And Brother Dice was going to preach that night. And it was one of the first exposures of our boys into a foreign culture in the United States of America. I often said, you can go to New York City, you don't need a passport, and you can be inundated with just about any culture that's available there and so forth. Well, that was an inundation for our boys, and their eyes were wide open. They've never seen anything like they were seeing that night and the adherence to man-made religion. And if you ask Brother Dana Dice today, I guarantee you he'd say this, you know, there are stresses and there are struggles of living in New York City, in Queens, New York, right off Jamaica Avenue. But I believe with all of my heart he'd tell you, you know, this is the place for me to be and it's the place of greatest blessing. If you, my friend, would get to that place of God's blessings and see the provision that God will bring, you will be amazed. The place of God's choosing may not be friendly, it may not be easy, but God will direct the path to the greatest level of blessing. Well, I said it's burdens and blessings because in this chapter where there's so many blessings, Abraham makes a choice. And in the midst of famine, the Bible says in verse number 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. I want to say just a couple of things about the burdens that came because of Abram's decision. As we look at this passage, and as we look at this chapter and consider this challenge to be in the place of God's choosing, number one, husband, father, are you walking with the Lord to discern the place of God's choosing? Wife, are you willing to walk with the Lord to follow the leadership of your husband? If you get in the place of God's choosing, you'll always be in the greatest place of blessing. Number four, making a choice with surrounding difficult circumstances will always be hazardous. We will face challenges no matter where we are. But I tell you what, if we begin to make our decisions on surrounding circumstances, we're going to put ourselves into hazardous positions. Am I driven by God's directive hand, or am I driven by surrounding circumstances? So here's Abram. God calls Abram to go to this place called Canaan. In the midst of his time there in Canaan, he faces famine. Let me ask you this question. When God called Abram to go to that land, did God know that a famine was on its way? Yes or no? Yes, he knew. Could God sustain Abram in the place to which he'd been called if Abram just said, God, this doesn't look very good. I don't understand this. You've moved us here. It seems to be a place of famine physically. I don't understand it from my perspective how we'll sustain it. But God, you called me here and I'm not moving until you tell me to move. And that's exactly what he did with Elijah. Elijah, a famine has come. I want you to go here and I'm going to feed you there. When that was done, God said, Elijah, I want you to go here and I'm going to feed you there. But in this instance, Abram said, famine, I'm going to move. And he went to Egypt, and we know it was not the right path because in order to go to Egypt, Abram sinned against Almighty God in lying about the nature of Sarah. Making a choice with difficult circumstances around you will always be hazardous. Be walking with the Lord. And when those difficulties come along, make sure that you're in tune with exactly what God would have for your life. Because if you determine that a circumstance is going to drive you from the place of Almighty God, you're going out on your own. And that's a dangerous place to be. Ruth chapter 1 verses 1 through 5. I don't have time to go into that passage, but if you're taking notes this morning, look at the story in Ruth 1, 1 through 5, and discern this. The dad in that setting made a decision to move out of the place of God's people and to go on his own, and it cost him dearly. He left the place of God's blessing, and he went to the land that God called a washpot. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Let me give you one fifth and final note. When dwelling in the place that is not of God's choosing, there will always be unnecessary accrued baggage. This is a weighty matter for us because there are people, no doubt, that are here in this auditorium right now that were dwelling in a place that was not of God's choosing. And so when I speak of accrued baggage, it's a weight for you this morning. It's a challenge for you this morning. And please understand, I do not intentionally bring up past difficulties and want to heap additional troubles on your heart today, but I do want others to learn. In Genesis chapter 12, the blessing, Abram, leave your homeland, go to this place, I've called you there, I'll provide for you there, and it was a husband in tune with God, and a wife in tune with God, and God's greatest place of blessing was in that location. But Abraham said, you know what? Circumstances around me are getting difficult. I better head out. And he was driven by circumstances and not God's will. And now in the place of Egypt, he is going to accrue to himself things that God would have never intended for him to have. In a few chapters, we're going to see the lady by the name of Hagar. Hagar came out of the Egypt land with Abram and Sarai. Hagar was a part of a decision that has literally affected every generation since that choice in the land of Egypt. Lot, I believe, acquired a taste for the things of the world in the land of Egypt. And while Lot was down there in the land of Egypt and in their false religion and in all the nature of their culture and all the enticements of the flesh that were provided there in the land of Egypt, he comes out of it. And then the very next chapter, and we'll look at this in the coming Sunday, in the very next chapter, Lot makes a decision not based upon the will of Almighty God for his life, but on surrounding circumstances. You see, he watched Uncle Abram make a decision over famine. In just a little bit, chapter 13, Lot's going to make a choice not over famine, but over fortune. One of the things that I try to challenge the young people on here in the academy and as a youth, former youth pastor, as an opportunity to influence young adults here in our ministry, one of the things that I really want to challenge young people with is this thought. Be very careful in your walk in youth, because Satan wants to come along and he wants to add all kinds of junk to your life that will then become baggage against you doing whatever God wants you to do with your life. I watch young person after young person after young person that begins to dabble in the things of the world. They get a taste for something. They get an appetite for something. And they accrue to themselves that appetite. And God never intended for them to have that appetite. But they accrue that appetite and then they begin to load their bags down. God had a desire for their life. God had a map for their life. He had a high calling for them. And He had a prize that He wanted them to reach. He wanted them to do all that God wanted, or He wanted them to do all that they could do possibly for His kingdom's sake. But they got a little taste of Satan's temptation. And then they wanted another taste and another taste, and pretty soon Satan has weighed their bags down. And so the marathon that they could have been running for the Lord Jesus Christ has changed dramatically. And sadly, in some cases, because of the baggage that they acquire, they're no longer able to do what God wanted them to do. I believe that we can learn much from Abraham's burdens and blessings. Husbands, fathers, I start with you this morning because Genesis chapter 12 starts right with the husband. God was in communication with Abram and said, Abram, this is what I want you to do. And in close concert with God, Abram sets a course for his family that would bring great blessing. Wives, will you walk in close concert with the Lord? So that as your husband is praying over a matter and seeking God's will and comes to you and says, honey, this is what I believe we should do for our next step in service for the Lord, so that you will respond to him not with an attitude of you're crazy, you're nuts, you're off your rocker, have you lost it? Here's some medication. No, you'll respond with this. Honey, as you follow the Lord, I want to follow you. I can only speak this from observing it in my parents' lives and observing it in our own lives and observing it in every single person I've ever seen that has a close walk with the Lord. I'm just telling you, you have to see this for yourself. The place of greatest blessing is the place to which God has called you. But if you begin to make choices based on circumstances around you, it will always be hazardous. And when dwelling in those hazardous places and being in a place that is not of God's choosing, there is always the danger of unnecessary accrued baggage. May we as men humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and submit to the Lord and even come to this altar and say, dear God, start this in me. Is my family where you'd have it to be? Wives, perhaps this morning you're in a wrestling match with your flesh over the following of your husband. Will you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, dear Lord, I'm not going to beat him up with the word every day. I'm going to take him to prayer and bow my knees before a holy God and ask you to work in his heart and life. Would everyone this morning acknowledge that the place of greatest blessing is the place to which God has called you? To be exactly where God wanted you to be? Would you acknowledge this morning, young people, please listen to me. Satan will do all he can to add unnecessary baggage to your life and ruin your potential for the Lord. He wants us to be driven by his word and not by our surrounding circumstances. To just go back to finish the story from the beginning. Would my dad have been a great FBI agent? I think he would have been. He surely wouldn't have been in the days of John Dillinger and Bonnie and Clyde and everything like that, but I would surely put him up on that level. He would have been a super G-man. I know many others that have served in the FBI, godly men. But that wasn't the place for my dad. The place for my dad was in the ministry. And thankfully, my dad set a course for our family that now 50, 60 years later, I wouldn't exchange for all the money in the world. I believe in the message this morning that just about everyone has, everyone gathered here, and everyone watching online, everyone has something to address in their own heart and life this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these burdens and blessings. And as we go through these chapters in Abraham's life and we do a deeper dive into the things that he encountered, I believe there are a lot of practical principles for all of us. We start with husbands. Is each husband in this auditorium and watching online walking closely with you? Would they declare themselves in a humble way this morning? And I mean this with all sincerity. But in a humble way, could we declare ourselves to be Psalm 1 men? We're delighting in the Word of God. We're following the Word of God. We're shunning poor counsel. We see the prosperity spiritually. We see that prosperity having an effect on our spouse and on our children. Father, I pray for the wives, the moms that are gathered here this morning. Submission does not come easy for any of us. And by the way, we're to be submissive. All of us have responsibilities of submission. And it does not come easy to our flesh. There's a structure that God set in place when sin entered the arena. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the wives this morning to submit themselves as Sarah did under her husband. We read of that in Genesis, and then again in 1 Peter chapter 3. May we see that the greatest place of blessing is right there in the center of God's will. And may to the best of our abilities, we all know, yes, I'm exactly where God would have me to be. If there are some right now that are right in the middle of seeking to make a decision based upon circumstances around them, Lord, would you bring pause to their process? Perhaps they're getting ready to get married to someone because of circumstances around them. Perhaps they're going through difficulties in the home because of circumstances. Perhaps they're thinking of changing a career and moving into another location because of circumstances around them. Lord, would you just bring pause and may they just bathe that in prayer and seek a lot of counsel before that decision is made. Would you remind them of Abram in Genesis 12 and of Elimelech there in the book of Ruth? It cost them greatly. I pray for the young adults, the young people, the teenagers. There are so many different avenues of lures that Satan would throw out into the water that they might be lured away from their potential. And perhaps even some young people this morning that have been tempted by some enticement of their senses. And perhaps they've even tried something to this point. Whatever it may be, Lord, would you convict their heart? Lord, I pray that before that hook is well seated into their life, that they would be able to extricate that hook from Satan's lure and that they would get away as far away from that as they can, that they might fulfill your potential. If there's someone this morning that has much that has flowed under the bridge, much water that has flowed, and they have accrued baggage, would they see this morning that there's still hope in the cross of Calvary? Perhaps it's the matter of salvation and the saving grace of Jesus Christ, or it's the matter of forgiveness. And I'm so glad that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And while there are consequences, there are still all number of ways in which you can use a willing servant. Abraham's burdens and blessings. I'm quite certain this morning that everyone gathered and everyone listening can concur, Pastor, I've got some blessings right now in my life, but I've also got many burdens. I pray in the quietness of this invitation that we'd be humbly responsive. We would do whatever you'd have us to do. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, lead me. Whatever the statement may be, would you draw people to make a choice for you today and to learn from these burdens and blessings. In Jesus' name. Would you, heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I know the temptation in messages like this is to look down the row and to make sure that someone else is going to respond because we know their circumstances. But I pray this morning we'd all have an attitude that says, you know, I'm going to just look within. And I know the nature of burdens and blessings. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come to know the Lord this morning. The Bible says that it is by the grace of Almighty God that we can be saved. We invite you to come to be saved this morning, but others this morning, all over the audience. As the hymn of invitation is played this morning, have thine own way, have thine own way. Young people, would you listen to me this morning and would you listen to this admonition? There are all manners of way that Satan will seek to get hooks into your life and to seek to ruin your potential for the Lord. Would you respond this morning? Dads, it starts with you. Moms, would you pray for your spouse this morning? Perhaps he's not walking with the Lord. Would you take this time of invitation and just say, Lord, I'm going to remove myself from the way. I'm taking my hands off, and Lord, I want you to put your hands on it. And just bring about what's necessary for the directives in our marriage and the directives in our home. We invite you to come. Parents, can you take time to pray for your kids? Perhaps they've been around friends that have not been good influences, and they've allowed Satan to bring about temptations and different enticements. Lord, please protect them from going into the error of their own way. Grandparents, praying for your grandkids. Are there circumstances right now that are driving you and you think there's just no other way to go, but the circumstances are in the driver's seat, not the Lord? Would you do what God would have you do this morning? Father, thank you for the time together this morning. Thank you for the special Mother's Day. I pray, Father, that we would reflect on all that our moms have given to us. It's quite possible that there are some this morning that are praying for a mom to get saved. And what a day that would be like if a mom would step forward and come to know Christ. That'd be a wonderful gift to see transpire here. But Lord, whatever the relationship might be with a mom, we still have much to be grateful for. We do not have perfect moms, but we've been blessed to have a mom. That mom gave us life, brought us into this world, sacrificed much that they might have us and not abort us. And so I pray that we would have a thankful heart even today. Would you bless us as we dismiss? May we honor you this week with our lips and with our lives. May we begin to digest these blessings and burdens in Abraham's walk. And may we take chapter 12 and just dig further into that and ask ourselves, are we in the place of God's choosing? And if not, Father, Lord, I pray that you direct us to that place of greatest blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm so thankful to see each and every one of you here this morning. We do want to recognize one of our families, the Matsons. Brother Pete is not here this morning, but and I don't know all